Good evening, everyone.
Glad y'all are here. So, this morning, we talked about what is a pastor, defining that word. And in a minute, a picture of a sheep is going to show up. There was supposed to be one for the Lord's Supper, and I guess that somehow the mix up there. But Clark, this is not a lamb, but a grown-up version of a lamb. So I don't know if he intended this, but Clark's comments were, one, great, but also, two, kind of tied into what I'm talking about tonight. And so I appreciate him doing that for the Lord's Supper. But we're going to talk about a grown-up lamb, talk about sheep today. I didn't intend this, but I guess recently I've been using a lot of stories from my past about animals. I've talked about monkeys and baboons within the last couple months. I'm about to share another one about a sheep. I'm not a fan of sheep for a particular reason. We had a few animals, a little farm growing up in Zambia, and we had a lot of goats, and I love goats. Goats were easy. They were great. I really enjoyed raising goats, and we had maybe one or two sheep, and we didn't have them for very long because of this particular one. It was a ram, and it got a nickname in our family, the devil sheep, because it was awful. It was mean. It had this look in its eyes that was just like, you're a little demented. But one day, me and some of my friends, we were younger, probably elementary age, we went into the pen where the animals are being kept, and we were just playing around, goofing off, and this ram started attacking the goats in there. The goats were tied up, and so the goats couldn't really get away, and it started ramming its head into the goat's head. It's just like, did y'all know sheep were violent? I didn't, but this one was. It was scary, and then it turned on us, and so it chased us up a tree, and so we were calling our dad for forever till he came out and tied him up, but not a great experience with sheep, personally. Thankfully, though, the Bible, when it refers to sheep, typically doesn't refer to that particular sheep. It's got a different picture in mind when it talks about sheep. So we talked about a word in the Bible this morning called pastor. Well, there's another word, kind of the other side of the coin, that is sheep, because a pastor is not much of a pastor without sheep. A shepherd really doesn't have a job without sheep. And so what are sheep in the Bible? How does the Bible use that word? Well, one way it uses it in a very literal sense is to talk about the animal pictured on your screen. It's not mind-blowing, but that's not the way we're going to use it tonight, because there's another way that it's used. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is helpful in seeing the other way that sheep is used. And Hank's prayer kind of alluded to this as well, and I appreciate that prayer. The psalmist says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." And so in scriptures, we see that sheep are often used to represent people, specifically God's people, the people in God's family. And at face value, that might seem a little insulting, because sheep have some pretty obvious stereotypes, pretty unenviable stereotypes. Sheep are known for being dumb. Sheep are known for being defenseless and excessively loud and annoying. That's kind of the stereotypes applied to sheep. So you might be thinking, why is this the picture used of us? That doesn't seem like something I'd want to be. I wouldn't want to be a sheep. I'd want to be the predator. I'd want to be the top dog. Why the sheep? Why is that used? Well, there's more verses in Scripture used with this picture that kind of give us more of what this metaphor is going for. So turn to Isaiah 53, verse 6. We looked at Isaiah 53, verse 7, I believe it was, this morning. But just the verse before it talks a little bit about us, before it talks about Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we," so people, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the analogy gets even better. Besides those unfortunate stereotypes, just like sheep, people go astray. We wander away from the right path. We leave the area of safety and security. What that's a metaphor for is we sin. We get distracted. We leave the herd and the one guiding us. And before we know it, we're far away from where we should be, from where God wants us to be. And if you know anything about sheep, the most vulnerable sheep are the ones not with the herd, the ones on their own. Now, this doesn't mean that God is content with us being this way, content with us being sinners, content with us being maybe dumb or annoying. That's not certainly the way he views us, although sometimes we are that way. But this picture is to show kind of the state that we often find ourselves in. But we're called to something better, because in spite of our flaws and despite of our sins, God does treat sheep in a very beautiful way. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the first 7 verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This is talking about Jesus. So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So this term sheep also carries with it a sense of value and a sense of worth. We are valuable to God. We matter to him, and he cares deeply about us. Every single one of you matter to God. Every single person matters to God. And God is not content with a 99% retention rate. He wants 100%. He wants every single one of us to be his. He cares about his sheep so much that he seeks out and offers help and salvation to those that wander away, even if it were the minority, although it's not. Unfortunately, God wants us all that bad. Not only that, but all of heaven rejoices when God's sheep come home. That's how valuable we are to our Father. But there's a little bit more about this sheep picture. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse 14. Once again, this is Jesus talking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." So not only are sheep valuable, but Jesus knows his sheep personally and intimately. He describes himself as the good shepherd, and one implication of that title being he gets to know his sheep. He spends time with them, and he knows them. He knows you and me. We're not just a number to God. We're not just a foreigner to Jesus. He knows us. In fact, unfortunately, he knows most of us more than we know him. And that's why we've got to keep growing closer to him. But he wants us to know him. Jesus wants a relationship with his sheep. Go back up to verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Not only does the good shepherd want us and want to know us and want us to know him, he gave his life to make all of that possible. Our shepherd died so his sheep could live. Jesus died so his people could live. That's how good the good shepherd is. That's how much he loves you and me. But there's another implication to being sheep as well. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Sheep are subject to their shepherd. You know, the shepherd loves his sheep. He protects them, but he also knows what's best for them. And so he needs to guide them and he needs to oversee them. And the same is true about Jesus with us. He's our overseer. He guides us. He shows us how to live. He corrects us when we wander away. He tries to bring us back. And so as sheep of Jesus, we have a responsibility to follow his lead, to submit to his authority and to his commands. Now, while this is a command, we as sheep should have a relationship with our shepherd where we don't necessarily feel compelled to follow him. We should want and be willing to follow him. But in the case where that may not happen, we should still submit to his authority, regardless of how we feel about it. Now, this may all sound familiar because a lot of these words are words that we've used this morning. Shepherd, overseer, things like that, pastor. Well, those words used to describe Jesus are also used to describe our elders. Now, Jesus is the, capital T, capital H, capital E, the shepherd and the overseer of the church. But as the shepherd of the church, he's commanded that there be men on the congregational level that also act as shepherds of the congregation. Qualified men, qualified pastors or overseers or elders. And like we talked about this morning, these pastors have the incredible responsibility of protecting and spiritually guiding their congregation. But as sheep, we also have a responsibility to follow their leadership. We have a command to submit to their authority. So what does that look like? Well, let's pick up where we finished this morning. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 5 again. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We are subject to our elders. As I mentioned before, elders are put in that place of authority, and we're commanded to respect that authority. And hopefully we want to do that because we've got a good relationship with them. But even if you don't get along with your elders, with your pastors, you are still commanded to do that as sheep, to submit to their authority. Now, this doesn't mean that elders get to do whatever they want and get to be oppressive, and it certainly doesn't mean that they get to override the lordship of Jesus. If you're in 1 Peter, look back just two verses at 1 Peter 5, verse 3. One of the things it says about how elders should conduct themselves, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That word domineering can also be translated exercising lordship over. In fact, some of your translations may have that written. Ultimately, that word comes from the Greek word kurios, which means Lord, the word we often use for God or for Jesus. Elders are to never exercise lordship, or in other words, take the place of Jesus. But they are given the authority to help the local congregation be like Jesus and help people get closer to Jesus. And we must submit to that leadership. And so the question is, how? How do we submit? Well, 1 Peter 5 also gives us something practical to do. It says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Prideful people do not submit to authority. Definitely not God, but also not people either. The first thing we have to work on to be faithful and submissive sheep is our humility, specifically in relation to other people. I can act humbly toward God and think I'm better than everyone else. It's inconsistent, but you can do it, and some people do. We need to be humble at all levels, including people, not just between us and God. I'm not exempt from the oversight and shepherding of my pastors. No matter how old, how studied, how disciplined, how faithful I am, I'm not better than anyone, and I'm still called to submit to my elders. But if we truly work to clothe ourselves in humility, we're promised that we're going to experience the blessings of God's grace. Now, is that it? Is it just humility? Is that all required? There's some other things Scripture tells us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. This is where we're going to be the rest of the evening. Hebrews chapter 13. This is a great place to learn about how we as sheep respond to our elders and interact with them. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Sheep are supposed to look at their shepherds and imitate them. Now, yes, that puts some pressure on the shepherds to live the life they're supposed to live. But it should also put pressure on the rest of us who are not shepherds. Because we need to be watching, and we need to be living the lives that we see lived in front of us. We need to be imitating them. Which then brings up some interesting implications that we have to consider as Christians. You can't learn from somebody or imitate someone who you don't know or who you're never around. We need to know our elders. Do you have a relationship with your elders? Have you ever asked them to go out to eat so you could get to know them and build a relationship? Have you ever maybe gone on some kind of outing? Just anything? Maybe it be putt-putt golf. It doesn't really matter. Have you done something with your elders to get to know them? You know, our elders do an incredible job of talking to people in the congregation, visiting them, trying to be intentional about relationship building. But when it's 3 versus 200, that's a monumental task. And hopefully, thankfully, that job's getting harder and harder as more people get baptized. But it doesn't need to just be on them to get to know us. We need to get to know them and take the initiative to build that relationship. But the other side of it is, are we around enough to know our elders and imitate them? A Sunday night crowd is not really the crowd that this usually pertains to. But there are people who really struggle giving themselves enough time to get to know our elders. I mean, if the board is accurate, you know, there are a substantial amount of people at this congregation who give themselves 1 hour a week to get to know their elders, let alone everyone else. That's really hard to do. We have to be people who are with our church family, getting to know our church family, getting to know our elders, so that we can imitate them and that we can grow in the faith. And also remember this. Imitating elders is not really about being like them. It's really about being like Jesus, as they try to be like Jesus. Skip down to verse 17 in Hebrews 13. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. The first thing from this verse, we have to recognize and appreciate the weight and seriousness of being an elder. If you want to be a good sheep, take time to appreciate what your elders actually do for you. They have taken the responsibility of shepherding over your soul. That's huge. Now, the main responsibility over my soul is me, and over your soul is you. But at the same time, God has given us people in our lives to help us along that journey, because none of us can do it by ourselves. And that's a big responsibility. Not only are they called to that as elders, but it also says that they're going to be accountable to that job as elders. If there's one verse that keeps more elders up at night than any other, it might be this one. There are serious, real consequences for you, for me, for them. This is a real thing that we have to deal with. Is helping all of us grow, but elders especially, shepherding the flock and helping their spiritual well-being. We need to recognize what they do, and we should appreciate it. Like, all the time we should appreciate it. It's an incredible thing that God has given us and that these men have stepped up to do. So maybe my challenge tonight, if there's one practical thing to do, thank an elder before you leave tonight. But the other thing from this verse, I love the ending of Hebrews 13, 17. It says, let your elders serve with joy. And the end of that says, "For let them do it with joy, not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." It's such a practical ending to this verse. Be the kind of sheep that it's a joy to shepherd, because it's just going to be better for everybody in the end if you're like that. Don't be the kind of person, don't be the kind of sheep that makes elders' lives hard, because it's going to make your life hard too. Now, I'm not a parent, but from hearing people talk and things and experience, I know that there are kids out there who, while we love them and their parents love them, they do make parenting harder. And it makes it hard to sometimes find the joy because of some behaviors. But on the other side, there's also kids that just make it a joy to be a parent. I mean, they're always doing what they're supposed to do. They're not perfect. Sheep can be that way too. Now, elders aren't parents, but they are called to guide us and to help us. There are some Christians who just make elders' lives harder, and they make them groan and sigh because they keep wandering away. Don't be that Christian. All that means is that you aren't living the way you should be, and they're going to have to correct you, not because they want to, but because Jesus commanded them to. Don't be that person. You're going to make their life harder, and you're going to make your life harder. Be the Christian that's a joy to be around and a joy to shepherd. Go to the next two verses, Hebrews 13, verses 18 and 19. Pray for us. For we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Another practical thing that we can do as sheep is to pray for our elders. You may have noticed this already, but if you haven't, maybe start keeping a mental tally at the amount of times that a prayer is said publicly here at Central that includes a prayer for our elders, for our pastors. It happens pretty frequently. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a healthy thing. And that doesn't even count the prayers in private said for them. We should be praying a lot for them. You know, God wants elders to succeed. He really does. He's invested in their success. He wants them to be effective and courageous and faithful and for them to help the church grow. And so if God wants that, we should want that too. We pray a lot for our country's leaders, and that's a good thing. I don't think we should stop that. But the reality is that very few of them really care or are trying to help the church. I'm not saying they're bad people, but that's just not on their radar. How much more should we be praying for the leaders that are invested in the health and the growth of the church? Go to verse 20 and 21 of Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equipped you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Another thing that is really good to do as sheep is to remember that elders are sheep too. When compared to Jesus, the great shepherd, we are all sheep. Elders are still Christians trying to be in a good relationship with God. They're still growing, they're still learning, they're still struggling, they're still falling short, but they're also still trying. And because of that, we need to show grace and compassion. Yeah, we got to keep them accountable too. But also, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They have some really high standards that they are trying to achieve. And we need to be encouraging in that as well. They're sheep just like us. It's not us against them. We're all on the same team, trying to be with our great shepherd together one day. And then finally, Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. Jesus Christ is the great pastor. You know, whether your congregation has elders or not, we're blessed to have some here. Whether you are an elder or not, we are all to submit to the great pastor, to the great shepherd, who is Jesus. In fact, if you want to be the best sheep that you can be, the best Christian that you can be, you're going to submit to Jesus before anything or anyone else. And we actually become the best sheep when we do that. All the other things are practical and helpful, and we should do them. But at the core, this is what we need to do to be the sheep we need to be. If you want to be the best at submitting to your elders, then you should submit to the great shepherd. The sheep that are the best at doing that are the ones who are already yielding to the authority of Jesus. The sheep that are the most humble with their elders are the sheep that are already humble in their relationship with the great shepherd. The sheep that best imitate their elders are the sheep that are already trying to imitate the shepherd. The sheep that best recognize the seriousness of what elders do are the sheep that recognize the seriousness of what the great shepherd already did. The sheep that bring the most joy to their elders are the sheep that are already bringing joy to the great shepherd. The sheep that pray for their elders are the sheep that also talk to their shepherd. The sheep that love their elders are the sheep that love the great shepherd. Like I said this morning, we've got some great elders here. And this morning was kind of about what they're called to do, who they're called to be. But we, as sheep, also have responsibilities. Yes, to them, but that really flows out of our responsibility to the great shepherd. So my question is, what kind of sheep are we going to be? What kind of sheep are you going to be? If you need help in that journey in being a sheep, and you need encouragement, you need prayers, we're going to do that for you tonight. If you are not a sheep of God, if you have not become a Christian through faith, if you've not put Christ on in baptism, we can do that tonight too. If you have a need, please come as we stand and we sing.